In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Who can understand this loving God who weeps over man's destruction? Before all things, he was love, perfect love. He needed nothing, he lacked nothing. Nothing could make him greater or less. Perfect love, perfectly complete. Yet still, he spoke this world into being, knowing full well his crowning jewel would reject him to follow the serpent. Still, he gently molded Adam from dust, creating him in his image, in his likeness. Still, he gave him the perfect helpmate, a bride, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, not two but one. He knew full well the pain they would inflict on his heart and on his body. Yet still he made them male and female, almost as if he had to create them, almost as if he needed them in some way, which of course he did not. We would never have a friend that we knew would inflict serious harm on us. So God's love is so much different than our love. He knew it all. He knew it all from beginning to the end of the world, yet still he spoke. Still he molded Adam from dust. Still he breathed life. Why man? Because God is love. And in his love, he desired mankind to be an object, to be the object of his love. But he will not force that love on anyone. He allows himself to be rejected. In love, he sent his beloved son. Surely they would respect him. Instead, they cast him outside the holy city and killed him. In love, he went willingly. In love, he died for the worst of the worst the world has ever seen. In love, he died for those of us who think that we are better than most. He didn't have to. He didn't need us. We don't complete him in any way, make him greater or lesser, but still he went, driven by love. And so this is the most clear and precise picture of God's love you could ever find, Christ crucified. But fallen man rejects the love of God. All are born in the image of their sinful parents, themselves sinful, selfish, caring only about what benefits them and little about others. All are born separated from this loving God and quite content to remain as such. You are no different. I was no different. There is no one who does good, no, not one, for all have sinned and have brought upon themselves the due punishment of their sins. The Lord knew all this. Still he spoke. Still he molded Adam from dust. Still he breathed life. He knew the sin of Cain, and yet still he crafted him in his mother's womb. He knew the constant idolatries of Jerusalem, how often they would fall away from him to follow other gods, yet still he chose them. He knew the atrocities of Assyria, Babylon, and Rome, of men like Titus, Hitler, and Osama bin Laden. He knew the lies of Mohammed, Joseph Smith, Pope Francis, Joel Osteen, just to name a few. Yet still he spoke. Still he gave them life. He loved them. Still he died for them, desiring to reconcile them to himself. So many reject the love of God. He longs to gather them together as a hen gathers her chicks, but Jerusalem was not willing. And sadly, many today follow obstinate Jerusalem. They insist on their own way. Love wells up in his eyes and drips down his cheeks. Oh, how he longs for them to be united to him. If only they could see what he saw. If only they had the wisdom of a little child to simply believe. If only they knew what would give them eternal peace. But their hearts are hard. They refuse as Jerusalem refused. Those outside Christianity view it as some antiquated religion destined to go the way of time, just simply one of many paths to God. But chiefly God's tearful warning is for those inside the visible church, those who call themselves Christian. for Jerusalem is always a picture of the Christian church. How many fail to preach Christ crucified for the forgiveness of their sins, and so fail to preach the love of God? How many want only a God who loves them in a generic love and gives them good things in this life, prosperity, and dries their earthly tears in a reasonable amount of time? They change God's love into only physical things, forgetting what God has done on his cross. So they forsake. They do not repent. They do not forsake their immorality, but they approve of sin. They approve of false teaching. If only they knew the destruction that was coming. If only they could see what our Lord sees. If only they could see the Prince of Peace. Learn from Jerusalem. Far too many ignore its violent, bloody destruction in 70 AD. Do not assume that a loving God would never punish someone for all eternity, but only those really bad people. Pretty soon, if that were true, then no one would be going to hell, for we can always find someone worse than ourselves. But not everyone dies and goes to a better place. Some, and yes, some very good people by our earthly standards, some very good people go to a far worse place. Still, the Lord is love. Still, he desires not their death, but that they too repent and live. Their death and destruction brings him no joy, no satisfaction, only tears. For he knits them together in their mother's womb so that he might enjoy blessed communion with them forever. He blessed them with many good things in this life. He sent his Son to die for them. He gave them his word and had his sacraments set before them, but they rejected these things of God as unnecessary, useless, not for them. So as God did not spare Jerusalem when they constantly rebelled against him, but constantly destroyed them, ravaged them, and plundered them throughout the centuries until finally in 70 AD he wiped them off of the face of the map, so also will God deal likewise with those who spurn his loving cross and reject his sweet love. Destruction is coming, the likes of which the world has never seen. Still, God weeps. He weeps for them because they suffer needlessly. He weeps because they endure what he already has endured. They try to pay for sins that he himself has already paid for. So his love is wasted on them, and he weeps. Repent. Learn from Jerusalem. Heed the tears of Christ. The astounding thing is not that destruction is coming and many will be eternally swept away. But the astounding, astonishing, amazing thing is that you will escape. For you are no different than anyone else who has ever been born, just as selfless, selfish, heartless, and separated from God. God knew, and yet still he knits you together in your mother's womb. There are no accidents. He loves. He saw every one of the sins that you would commit in your life, yet still he created you. He knew the great sins and small ones, your habitual sins and the one-time sins, the disgusting, embarrassing things that you have done, and also those proud, self-righteous acts you have done. Still, he formed you. He doesn't need you. You do not make him greater or less. You do not complete him in any way. He is perfect love without you. Yet still he created you to be an object of his eternal love. He wants you as his own. So no matter what you have done, he pours out his love for you on the cross and then pours out that love to you in his word and sacraments. Separated by locked doors, Jesus appeared to his disciples on Easter evening, breathing to them peace. Though separated by 2,000 years and by Christ's ascension, he still comes to you to stand in his flesh right here this day, breathing peace to you by giving you the forgiveness of sins. He won't force this love on you. Many who have heard it reason that this type of forgiveness, this love, is not for them. And so they go to somewhere else. He lets himself be rejected. Do not foolishly follow them. For in baptism he has crushed your stubborn heart and given you a soft heart. He has made you who are unwilling, willing. For no one can confess Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Yes, with every sin that you commit, you stomp on his love. But his love is greater than your sins. For each and every week, each and every day, he comes to you to announce his forgiveness and to take away your sins. You see that here this day. He has died for you. He forgives you. He loves you. You see nothing spectacular as you gather around his word, listening to his ordained servant, but you cannot even begin to comprehend the depths of God's love. You may feel no different. You may feel nothing amazing or no different as you have walked in from when you walked into this sanctuary. And yet God has poured out on you his cruciform love. Regardless of what you endure in your life, how frustrated you may be, how worn out and tired you may feel, God loves you. How do I know? Look at that crucifix. Look at that altar. For this loving God is coming to you yet again to show you the full extent of his love, so that you might escape all that is about to happen and enjoy eternal peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.